I have good news for you. Who could use a little good news this morning? Good. Well, turn in your Bible, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is the last message in the series entitled The Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And not to be redundant, but I've been building up because the last 2 weeks I had a message called The Fellowship of the Father. Last week was The Fellowship of the Son. And guess what today is? Yeah, you know what it is. It's also the title of the series, but I want to conclude with this last phrase, the fellowship of the Spirit. You know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there are so many different things over the years that people have taught or thought about the Holy Spirit. Even when I was going through seminary, I was amazed at the books that I would read and how many different theories and how many different Christian teachers don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. And so some people think the Holy Spirit is just kind of this force in the world, or maybe it's love or justice, or it's just kind of the spirit of unity. It was somewhere around the time of the Nicene Creeds that after those were written, that the Cappadocian fathers, a guy like Gregory of Nazianzus, that really fought, because our original Christian creeds just said, I believe in God the Father, and it said a bunch of things, and then it said God the Son, and it said a bunch of things, and it said, oh yeah, and the Holy Spirit, and then just went on. And he had that whole section about who the Holy Spirit is. And notice I said who, because the Holy Spirit isn't a what, he's a who. There's a personality to the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about being able to grieve the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, as we understand it, is a part of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're not three gods. It's all one, but it's three different ways that we talk about God. And so when I think of God the Father, typically I think of the God that's the creator, God's that's the sovereign ruler. He's my heavenly Father. He's my provider. When I think of God the Son, I think of Jesus coming in the flesh. And so I think about what that means for us to be incarnational and in our life, to be present in people's lives. It's the God in us that you can see and touch. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, when I think about God, the Holy Spirit, I think about that thing that ties us all together. And so what a great phrase that the Apostle Paul used, that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the word for fellowship is, you all know this great Greek word by now, don't you? It's what? It's koinonia. It means to have things in common. It was a phrase like when people would go into business together and they would pool their resources and invest in a business, and then they were partakers in that business. They shared in it. So the Bible says that the early apostles that were fishermen, that they were partners. So they were all co-owners of the boat, and they would partner together. And so when the early church started, one of the first word pictures that was used for what it means to be a church, what it means to be a community of faith like we are, was koinonia. It had to do with their giving, like we just did. It was their fellowship. It was their eating together. It was their partnership in the gospel. It was the fact that they could lean on each other. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he wraps up this thought like this. He says, therefore, let me put it up on the board just in case you don't have a Bible. And you can read it from there. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, guess what? Here's just one more way that they translated koinonia in English. Common sharing. So he says, if you have any koinonia in the Spirit, any fellowship, any partnership in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That is a mouthful right there. I cannot tell you how many problems in churches over the centuries and even in my lifetime would have been solved if we just obeyed verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I looked the word nothing up in Greek. You know what it means? Nothing. That's all it means. There's no loophole to it. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Man, we ought to tattoo that on our foreheads backwards so we can see it in the mirror. He says, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. And so we don't just live our life selfishly. We don't just live our life in isolation. Here's the big key. And one of the things that the pandemic did to us beyond our control is it isolated us. It got us all into silos. And the problem is the more isolated we are, the more we just begin to be siloed in our thinking. We begin to think, we begin to get caught up in our own opinions. We lose our connection with the rest of the body of Christ. We lose our ability to fellowship with people of different opinion. That sound familiar? No, it didn't happen to you, but you've heard of people that happened to in the pandemic, didn't you? They got really caught up. Even maybe it wasn't just one person, but maybe they only hung around with two other people. And guess what? Those two other people had the same opinion. And so now we know we're right and everybody else is wrong. It can happen. It's called groupthink. But one of the things that is a great, not only a great privilege, but I believe it's a mandate for believers, however we do it, is to have fellowship with other brothers and sisters. There's a part of the Christian walk that's never complete until it's found its place in community. That's why the tagline of our church is three things. Restoring people, I believe it starts with that, we can be restored and healed, body, soul, mind, and spirit. But the second one is restoring community. And then the third one is changing the world, because I think we're always to be missional at the end of it. I was at a pastor's meeting years ago, and one of my supervisors, who's not my supervisor anymore, but he was a dear brother, and the only way I could figure it is he'd been too long out of the pulpit. He'd been too long out of doing ministry, which, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that absolute most important place and the place where the world gets changed is in the local church congregation. I believe that with all my heart. I believe every denomination should put the congregation first, because here's where it happens amongst us. And this pastor had read too many books that were kind of deconstructing the church and kind of postmodern, and he's saying, where in the world do we ever get the idea that the goal, once we get somebody saved, that now they have to come to church too? And I'm like, what? And he went on for like 10 minutes about how, you know, it's going away, that people, you know, people need the Lord, but they're not so interested in church anymore. And it was just this and this and this. And I just went, he said, why in the world do we need people to come to church? And one of my smart aleck friends said, because we want them to tithe. And I said, that's not true. I looked at him and I said, because I knew he was just joking, I said, is that what you think? And he goes, no, not really. He goes, then why do we want people to come to church? And I raised my hand sheepishly. I said, community? And they all looked at their shoelaces and went, yeah, you got a point, Mike. I guess we forgot about community. I said, you can't forget about community. It's the end goal. God wants us not just to be restored as individuals. And so much of our modern Christianity is about Jesus and me, is about my own walk with Jesus, is about my own personal Savior. It's about, you know, my walk with the Lord and my spiritual growth. But when I read the Bible over and over and over, everything happens in the context of we. It's a community. And so part of it is that. And friends, I know some of us, we're devastated by the pandemic because we're people, we like to hang out with other people. For some of you, to be locked in your house with your cat was like a gift from God. It was like the most wonderful, it was like the ultimate vacation, the pandemic. This is amazing. You mean I don't even have to talk to people? I can go to church in my jam jams and have a cup of coffee. I don't even have to put pants on, and I don't have to talk to any strange people. And it's hard, and I'm not condemning anybody, by the way. I know there are a lot of good reasons why people, especially on an icy morning, who still watch on YouTube. I'm not guilt-tripping anybody. I'm just saying, at some point, we lost the importance of this, not just seeing my friends, but seeing the people I don't know. and making a new friend. And so it is it's such an important topic for us. And just to end on this, what it means to have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he says is that if you have any comfort in Christ, it's a little longer in the NIV that I read, but in the Greek, that's just what it said. It's very few words. Most of the rest of them are kind of inserted. If you have any comfort in Christ, and I love this word comfort because it's one of the titles that Jesus gives to the Holy Spirit. He's the parakletos. So this word in the verb form it's a noun. If you have any comfort, paraklesis. Para means alongside and klesis means to be called. So it's one called to be alongside. In the Roman culture, the parakletos or the parakletos was your lawyer. So it's like an attorney. So you go into a court of law and it's the one that is alongside of you, speaking and defending you. And so this is one of the titles that Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit. We translate it sometimes advocate. We translate it sometimes as comforter. Sometimes we translate it counselor. But the idea of it is the Holy Spirit is the one that's alongside of us and he never leaves us. He never leaves us. No matter where you go, you have a relationship with the Lord. The Spirit of God follows you. You know, he goes with you to school. He goes with you to work. He goes with you when you're on the road. You don't leave the Holy Spirit in this room. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that indwells us and that stays with us no matter what's going on in our life. In John chapter 14, Jesus taught us about it like this. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." That's the word. That's the word parakletos. An advocate or a helper. Or a comforter or a counselor to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth or the true Spirit. He says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. How many know the Holy Spirit in this place? How many are familiar? Have you met him? Have you met him? I remember going, I went to a Baptist Bible college because they gave me a basketball scholarship, and there was a couple of African-American friends of mine that were on the team with me, and I had been there maybe about a week and was walking by in the gym, and they said, "Hey, Mike." I said, "What?" And they, "What kind of church do you go to?" I said, "Why?" Because we have a guest. They were Church of God in Christ, which is another Pentecostal denomination, one of the oldest Pentecostal denominations in the United States. In fact, one of them, Steve Adams, his dad was the pastor of the church here in Portland. And I told them I go to a Four Square Church. They said, "We knew it. We could tell." They said, "We could tell you got a friend like us, huh?" I said, "Yeah, his name is H.S., the Holy Spirit." They said, "I could just tell something about it. You know, Holy Spirit people can recognize other Holy Spirit. And by the way, every denomination has the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying there are some denominations that talk about him a little more. That's it. It's not haves and have-nots." But I always, man, I don't care what denomination God planted me in. We can't forget about the importance of the Spirit in our midst, of the Holy Spirit that moves in amongst us. He's the one that ties us together. You know, a couple of years ago, I was listening to a podcast, and there was a famous atheist, a famous apologist for atheism, and you'd know his name if I said it, but I like to listen to opposing viewpoints and to learn, you know, what I'm up against. And he says, "You know, this is my conclusion about it is just this." He says, "You know, on the inside of everybody's head, there's just brains." He was saying, as opposed to anything spiritual about human beings, there's nothing spiritual. There's no spirit or soul or anything. There's just brains in there. And brains decay. I said, "Man, I wanted to argue with him so bad." It was a podcast, so I couldn't, right? I wanted to call him up. And I said, "Yeah, that's like cracking open your computer." And said, "See there? I knew it." "What?" "It's just wires. There's nothing in there but wires." You say, "Yeah, that's what the hardware is." Okay, any computer people know the difference between hardware and software? "All right, what's it made out of?" "It's made out of wires." "Yes, I have brains in my head." "Well, at least I've been told." There's very little proof of it, but I have brains in my head. That's the hardware. I share something with the animals and the cats and the dogs. I have four limbs and I have a and I have a head and a heart and lungs, and I have brains in my head. But that's the hardware. You know what makes me is what you put on it. It's what you put in it. And so if there is a soul to a person, that's the software. It's what makes us all different, right? I say, well, okay, so we've got the body and the soul because it's different on everybody, even though we all share a similar brain. And so you say, well, where does the spirit come in? Wait for it. That's the internet. It wasn't around back when I first started being on computers, but at some point, Al Gore invented what he called the information superhighway. That name never stuck. We eventually called it the internet. But that means all the computers are tied together. They have a relationship, not only across town, but across the world, is that we're all interrelated and have something together. How many are with me so far? And so there is something spiritual. How many have ever sensed it, even just in a worship service or in a prayer meeting or even just one-on-one or in a group of people? Something happens in our midst that doesn't happen when I'm just by myself. There's a spiritual connection that begins to take place. How many are with me so far? You want me to take it one further? Somebody said, then what is heaven? The cloud. That's where you get backed up for all of eternity. And even when your server goes down, you're still there. I don't know. Sometimes you can push it too far. But you're with me, aren't you? There's something that ties us together. And I believe it's the spirit of fellowship and the fellowship of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comforts and unites the church. And so in Acts chapter 9, it was talking about the very early church in the Bible. He said this about them. And then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord. That just is another way of saying faith and confidence in Him, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And it increased in numbers. Encouraged, the word is paraklesis. It means that the Holy Spirit was tying us together. Not only is He alongside of us, but He's called us to be alongside each other. Amen. Man, I met the Holy Spirit, I think, for one of the first times in my life when I was away at camp. And we prayed for something they called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I've been trying to learn about for the rest of my life since then. But it changed my life. All I know is I came home and worship wasn't just about singing songs. I just really felt a closeness and a communion with the Lord when we began to worship the Lord. And worse than that, it messed me up because I'd come home from school and I would just remember what happened to me at camp. And before I knew it, I put my hands up in the air and start singing. And the Holy Spirit would come into my bedroom and I just knew that He was there. Man, I got to tell you, that happens to a young kid, it'll mess him up for the rest of high school. And that's what it did to me. Every time I got invited to one of those parties I knew I wasn't supposed to go to, I couldn't. And I got to tell you, friends, in my flesh, I wanted to go so bad. I wanted to go, but I couldn't. Because down deep in my heart, I knew if I went to that place, I'd take the Holy Spirit there. And I just promised myself as a young kid, I never wanted to take the Holy Spirit someplace He'd be embarrassed to be. I knew that He was going to watch everything that I did. I knew that He was going to be in, and I just couldn't. I just couldn't. And so, friends, I got to tell you, something about the Holy Spirit in your life will, not only will it give you encouragement, but it'll hold you accountable as well. That phrase, do not grieve the Holy Spirit that's within you, that always just broke my heart. I said, oh, man, I never want to just grieve Him. I said, because I know that He sees what I see and He goes where I go. Anybody with me so far? Say amen. The second thing He says, if you have any comfort in Christ or if any counsel of love, I use the word counsel, but this second word, it's a synonym of the first one. Parakletos. The second word is paramuthia, which also means alongside, but muthia is where we get the word myth. How that ties together is it means to talk to somebody or to share somebody. To share words. And so the first one is kind of comfort with your presence. The second one is comforting somebody with words. So if you have any counsel, I use the word counsel, but like I said, comfort and counsel are kind of synonyms. And what it reminds me of in the Holy Spirit, who has given gifts to the church, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in different ways. How many believe that the Holy Spirit pours out gifts on the church? What is a gift of the Holy Spirit? There are a lot of different kinds of them. They're not just one category. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about supernatural gifts. I call them manifestation gifts because it's how God makes himself real. And I don't believe that there's only one gift that people get. Some people teach it like that. But I think if God needs to move through you to pray for somebody for healing, he'll move through you. And somebody says, well, I have the gift of healing. I said, what do you mean? Well, I prayed for somebody and they got healed. I said, so who gave that gift? Well, Jesus did. Well, who received it? Well, the person that got healed. I said, how can you say you have the gift of healing? All you did was hand it off. Are you with me? And when I get sick or I get hurt or injured, I'll ask any kid wandering by if they know Jesus. And my kids will do this all the time. I love it. Even when they were little, I get a headache and they put their little hands on my head and say, Jesus, heal daddy's headache right now. He can move through anybody. He can do miracles if you need them. Say, I haven't seen a lot of miracles in my life, but you will when you need it. And he speaks through people. I believe that he does. I had a friend of that same Baptist Bible college. I said, you believe in prophecy? I said, oh, yeah, I see it all the time. He said, well, does that mean you can write down verses in the Bible? No, it's not like that. But prophecy to me isn't telling the future. It's just speaking truth into somebody's life. You know, every once in a while over the years, because I grew up kind of in a Pentecostal environment, somebody will come to me and they say, I have a word from the Lord for you. Anybody ever said that to me? It always makes me a little nervous, even though I always listen, because I don't want to miss it, you know, if God's speaking. You know? But some of the times it was a word from the Lord. Other times it wasn't. And so I hardly ever, if I've got a word for somebody, I just say it. I don't say I have a word from the Lord. I just say it and I'll let them decide if it's from the Lord. And, I had a bad example, but I'm not going to share it. Oh, you want to hear it? This one guy came up to me. He's been gone for a long time, so you won't know who it is. But when Molly and I, for our first 7 years of marriage, we experienced infertility before we adopted kids. And one brother came up to me on Sunday morning and said, Pastor Mike, I'm so excited. Why? He says, the Lord has told me that Molly's pregnant. I said, brother, just do me one favor, right? We're going to keep that word between you and me. So we're not going to share that with Molly. And 9 months from now, I'm going to find out if you're a prophet or not. He wasn't. Just spoiler alert. But I said, don't tell somebody that, something like that. And then what? It's their fault if it doesn't come true. Having said that, I believe people speak into my life all the time. On a weekly basis, almost never do they say, this is a word from the Lord. A lot of times they just say, Mike, I had something on my heart that I wanted to share. Or they just share it. And I cannot tell you how many times my life has been shaped and guided by the counsel of other brothers and sisters. And we need each other like that. Amen? We really do. 1 Corinthians 12, it starts off like this. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And there is to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he goes on to talk about the rest of the gifts of the Spirit. And I think we need that more than ever. You know, when I was growing up in my church, we were kind of old traditional, at least there were some old traditional Pentecostals. And having the Holy Spirit give a word in a message meant after song two. I mean, every Sunday after song two, Grandma Barkus right down there in the fourth row would give a word in tongues and then someone would interpret it. And that's what the Holy Spirit was like. I've found you don't need a formula like that. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit moves. He just speaks through people. And we need his counsel, not only the counsel that he gives us when we're praying one-on-one, but the counsel that happens when we're in fellowship with one another. Anybody say amen? We need that. And by the way, if the only counselors you have in your life are the ones that you agree with all the time, find some more. Because it's also important for us to hear counselors that tell us things we don't want to hear. Nobody amen that one. Nobody. Because you know, if you say amen, then you're going to have to start doing it, right? You said, okay, I'm just going to let that one slide. But we need people like that in our life. Amen. You praise God for my mom. She's one of the dearest, sweetest ladies you ever met. She's not confrontational, but she's got absolutely no problem telling me when I'm wrong, telling me when something is not going right or I don't have the right attitude about something. And I just, that wisdom. Oh, can I give you one example? No, you don't. Okay. I don't know why. None of these are on my notes, but it was when we were down in Coquille. Molly remembers this story. Back when I was a single young man, and there was a girl in our college group that was a single mom, and I was telling a story about how I went to go get a little dog from the pound, and by the time I went there, it was gone. And next thing I know, she came up and she says, "Mike, I got good news." "What?" She said, "I found you a dog." And I said, "Oh, no." And I went and met. It was the dog that I didn't want. It was the dog that I saw at the pound and passed on. So she was met the dog, and I went over and I saw the dog. And I said, "Well," she goes, "I'm just going to miss him so much." I said, "Well, you can come and visit him." She goes, "I can?" And I'm like, "Oh, man." I said, "Okay, let me think about it." And I called mom, and she said, "What?" All you moms know what she told me. She said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." She knew. I was too dumb. I didn't know. I thought it was somebody who was trying to be nice to me. She goes, "Don't take that dog. First of all, dogs are very personal and it's a lot of responsibility, but I think there just might be strings attached to that dog." And she was not wrong. But, you know, we need people like that in our life, don't we? And young people, if you don't think you need old people like that, they got a lot of wisdom. And most of the time they don't tell you about it just because you don't ask. And so we need to seek counsel from people. I have tons of people in my life that I seek counsel from. And I listen to it because I do not get the whole picture just out of my own head. I need the Holy Spirit in you speaking into my life. Just like you need the Holy Spirit in me speaking into your life. Amen? We need each other. That's part of that spirit of counsel. The Bible says in Isaiah that God has put a spirit on the righteous branch. And he says, and he'll give him a spirit of counsel and of might. Those are both military terms. It means not only to have the wisdom to know how to go to battle, but then to have the resources to bring it about. And we need both counsel and might. It takes both the presence of the Holy Spirit and his counsel for us to grow up and be the people that God has intended for us to be. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened," that's the word paramuthia, "and help the weak, and be patient with everybody." Man, that should be kind of the motto of our church, don't you think? That in a healthy environment, that we not only know how to speak words of encouragement, but we also know how to speak words of loving exhortation. That's another way to translate that word, by the way, to exhort. That means more than just telling somebody that everything's all right. That means also sometimes in love to tell somebody, maybe you should think about doing it this way. That you could have a little suggestion. How many know parents? Any parents in this room? How many know how much better would our kids' lives be if they just listened to our counsel? But you know that? And just as hard as you nodded your head right there, remember, you're somebody's child too. And so just as we know, and kids, it really is true, listen to your mom and dad. They have a lot of wisdom. But every single one of us, we need a mom and dad speaking into us as well. We need the Lord speaking into our life, and we need to be, as a healthy family, submitted to the counsel of the community, that we aren't isolated. We don't listen to the Lord as solo units. We're not islands unto ourselves. We hear the Holy Spirit in community. One of the things I've always loved about the Quakers is they just have a strong sense that in every single believer, man, woman, and child, there's an inner light, they call it. And so in some Quaker churches, when they come together, there's not even a preacher. They just wait. And then one at a time, different people will get a word from the Lord. And there's just a strong sense of community. I'm not going to become Quaker anytime soon. But I just love, you can even learn from people from different traditions, right? That respect for the fact that I don't have a corner on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in all of us as a community. Well, the last thing is this. He says, if there's any koinonia of spirit, and that's literally what it means. I'm going to end with that word just like I began with it. And what it is that the Holy Spirit helps us and calls us to come together and to work together so that we can all be healed. And so it begins with restoring the individual. But I believe the healing in our life is not completed until he's healed our ability to be part of a community. There's a part of our Christian walk that's not completed until we are part of a community. And friends, this is not just for the extroverts in the room. This is for the introverts too. This is for everybody in between. It's not about being shy or being a people person. It's just about being part of a family. We need our church family. Amen? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And so we are the body of Christ. Not just me, but us together. We're like Ultron. I don't know why that five people know who Ultron is. You remember when they finally assemble and they're together? We're not the body of Christ until we're assembled together. Man, that was a weird illustration. I had like three weird ones this morning, and I'm not going to end on that. So let me show you a video clip. Wow. Okay. Man, they jumped the gun. Let me show you a video clip from a movie called Here Comes the Boom. I don't know if you saw this movie, but the guy was a science teacher, and this is him getting his energy back and remembering what it's like to be a teacher. So you just watch this scene.
Oh, what's going on, Mr. Voss?
Biology, Derek.
Fair enough.
Can someone tell me what happens when a cell stagnates?
Okay, no one's listening to me.
I will try again. Anyone know what happens to a stagnant cell?
What's he doing on the table?
I don't know, something about cells.
Malia.
It's not good.
Did you hear that? It ain't good. People, a cell that is not in motion is not a productive member of the system.
It ends up assuming all the other cells are going to pick up the slack somewhere, but they don't. In fact, they imitate the stray cell until basically the whole organism begins to die.
Yeah.
But you know what? Biology is an amazing thing.
And here's the good news.
All that decays can be restored. It's just hitting anybody.
Like how a cut heals.
Like how a cut heals. Brian, my man.
Oh, look, you got one.
And once that cell is back on track, it creates energy amongst the other cells. That's what happens.
It starts getting a little movement going.
It gets a little rumble. Can I get a little rumble from everybody? Everybody just rumble in your seats right now for me. Just rumble a little bit. Okay, no rumble. That's fine. I'll be the lone rumbler up here. That's what I am. I'm a lone rumbler. But then the cell starts banging into the other cells.
And the cells push back and go, hey, what are you doing to me? They hit into another one. Hey, don't do that. Hey, that's my friend. You don't even know him. You don't know me either. I know you. We work together. Because then they hit a rhythm. All hit a rhythm, and this is the beginning of the restorative process. So now, even if the entire system is close to dead, what happens? Martinez, come on, give me something.
Oh no, not today.
Oh no, not in my house. No, 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 no.
Look out, here we come. Don't look up my pant leg, Derek. You're better than that.
I'm right over you.
Come on, man. What do you say? If all the cells work together, what will happen?
The entire system is healed.
Exactly. That is a sick dragon.
Yeah!
What I love is that there's so much about the body of Christ. There's so much about life in Christ that is expressed in words in the Bible. It calls us the body of Christ. So it uses this great picture of how we're just like that cell, like just like biology. It's all tied together. So we don't just live unto ourselves. We live life in community. How one person's doing is how I'm doing. I can't be okay when there's somebody else in the body that's not doing okay. It's why we stop and pray with one another. It's why we need to be concerned about one another. It's why we need to be aware. It's why we need to stop and see other people. Because that healing is never really complete until it's restored also in that spirit of fellowship. In all of us, that spirit draws us together in fellowship. 2 Corinthians 13 ends with this prayer. Would you read it with me? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I know this, friends. I have, even in my own family, my own grandparents got wounded from a church that they'd served at for years. And for they were devout believers and led a lot of people to the Lord over the years. But at some point towards the end of their life, they just kind of got too wounded to come to church. And I know they had been to this church a couple times to visit, but that happens more often than you think. You think that most people don't go to church just because they're not interested or they're not devout. They're very devout, but something happened. If you hang around people long enough, sooner or later, you're going to get hurt. If you hang around people long enough, sooner or later, somebody's going to offend you. It happens in any organization, religious or not. You can get hurt at school, at business, wherever it is. And guess what? We're a lot of things, but one of them is we are another organization too. And maybe you went to a church or something happened and you know, it's just every time you think about going back to church, it's just that wound that comes up. Just that hurt of that thing that happened. Friends, I'm going to tell you today, one of the things the Lord wants to restore in every one of us is to heal those wounds so that we could be healed as a community. To heal those wounds. You know, it's so important for us to be able to say, Lord, I recognize today that I was wounded by people. And people are imperfect. And guess what? This church is full of imperfect people too. But if that's you and what's keeping you, what's standing in the way of you being in fellowship is that woundedness, can I just tell you how sorry I am? Churches are imperfect. We don't always get it right. Even this church has not always gotten it right. But it's also full of loving people, saved by the grace of the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit. And if you give it an opportunity, He can heal you too. He can heal it. And He just wants to tie us together and to make you whole once again. So would you pray with me for a minute? Lord Jesus, I just pray for even just one brother, one sister here today. Lord, that is just still struggling with the pain of what has happened. Lord, whether it was done intentionally or unintentionally, whatever it is, we live long enough on this earth and sooner or later we will collect woundedness. We will collect offense. And I just pray right now, Lord God, that you would just heal in Jesus' name. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. Pour out a spirit of forgiveness, of restoration, of reconciliation. And Lord, may you just heal the things that have been broken in us. And we just give you all the praise for it, Lord. We know it doesn't just happen in one fell swoop, but Lord, I just pray that you continue the journey in our life. Continue the journey in my life. And we will give it all to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Friends, will you stand to your feet with me for a moment? Just grab somebody's hand next to you if you're able to. And if you're able to stand. If not, just feel free to sit. Would you pray with me? Say this, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. And write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering and just praise Him? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I just worship you. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day and drive safe, okay?